Greetings, Gamer Nation. This is Darth Korhor, and I am a Game On Minion. And I have a question. Andy, would you like to play some Risk?
D20 Radio, your gamer's role. www.d20radio.com.
Game On. Welcome, Gamer Nation. It's Sunday, May 3rd, 2009, and this is Game On, Episode 19. As usual, I am your host, Brian, trading under the registered name of Fiddleback on the forums, and with me, as per usual, is my stalwart companion, and the only man who needs a concealed carry permit for himself, Andy.
That's right, Gamer Nation. I know you're all wondering if that's a blaster in my pocket or if I'm just happy to see you. Well, I'm here to tell you, once you figure it out, it'll be way too late.
The question is, did you shoot first, though?
Ryan, how you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's been an exciting little week. How are you doing?
It has been indeed. I'm doing good. Had a sudden episode of having to work yesterday, but we're back today and we're rolling.
I know, so many of our loyal listeners were depressed by not having a show last night to listen to.
They were indeed, and I apologize. I would much rather be here making a podcast, but you know, got to pay the bills. So
bills.
Yeah, they're like weeds. They crop up everywhere. So
bills.
They keep sending them to me in the mail. I don't know. Yeah, bills. You know, that stuff you get in the mail?
Mail?
Mail, yeah.
Oh, man, okay. I'm going to have to go check.
I'll explain it to you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. What are we talking about today?
Well, you know, it's sitting right there on the shelf, either yours or the store's. You've seen it. You love it. You've read all about it. But you haven't played it yet. What the heck is wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm busy. I got things to do. I got these amorphous bill things I'm supposed to check out. I don't know. What's going on?
Upkeep phase.
First and foremost, today we'd like to thank Darth Korhor for sending in the bumper you heard at the top of the show. If you'd like to be included in the greatness that is Game On and get your voice heard throughout the intertubes, you can send us a bumper at gameon@d20radio.com. It costs you nothing to send one in, which, in retrospect, may have been an oversight on our part. But there you go.
Yeah, the only thing it's going to cost you is the pain and ridicule that, you know, of us mocking you once we get it played. So, you know, if you can handle that.
Yeah. I hope you can. I mean, they are listening to us.
Well, yeah. Episode 19, they're glutton for punishment if they're still hanging in there.
Yep. Well, it's been another semi-quiet week around the D20 radio network, but there have been a couple of shows out since our last cast.
Indeed, episode 65 of the Order 66 podcast covers the Infiltrator Prestige class for Star Wars Saga Edition. GMs Dave and Chris explore all its sneaky goodness, as well as answer listener questions and stop by Fragments from the Rim. Give it a listen and prepare for the upcoming episode 66, Big Bash Bonanza. In episode 65, Random Infiltrating Slugs.
Damn those slugs.
Damn those slugs. I'll bet they're ninja slugs.
Yeah, I put out the salt, but it doesn't seem to stop them.
They get right past it.
Yeah. Or unless they mean the other kind of slug. I don't know. Mostly Joe walks us through the One Roll system, and meanwhile, the Super Gaming Podcast, episode 13, interviews Greg Stolze and talks about all the latest projects Greg has been involved with, including a few semi-secret ones. Check out episode 13, The Reign of Greg Stolze.
Yes, a semi-secret swirl. Or something like that, yeah. Rodents. The Holocron, episode number 9, has hit the Holonet. If you're interested in the upcoming Star Wars The Old Republic MMO, and we know there's a few of you out there that are.
Oh, yes.
From BioWare, gotta love the BioWare, this is the show to listen to. GM Dave and Mostly Joe bring in a third man to help co-host the show. You know, semi-intelligent. I've heard him a few times. Yeah. We won't tell you who it is. You'll just have to be surprised. But they cover all the latest info coming out of BioWare, including, but not limited to, Issue 5 of The Threat of Peace, Jedi and Sith Morality. Fell off the toboggan. Drink. And the big lowdown on the latest happenings of the Order 66 Guild. Load up Holocron, episode 5, Flying by the Seat of Our Pants.
And I do have to interject here. Something amazing, something wonderful, something stunning and beautiful has happened with the Holocron.
Oh, yes. Yes, it has.
Yeah. They now have their own official blog up and running, and they have all kinds of content on there. Tons of things related to the Star Wars Old Republic MMO. And if you would like to check it out, and we hope you do, you can find it at www.theholocron.net. And, you know, log in there, check things out, comment on posts, read what's going on. There's lots of interesting speculation, information, and news.
Yeah, I've been excited about this since we first discovered it. But now reading the blog and some of the new information that has come about, I'm really jonesing to see this game.
Oh, yes. It's quite impressive looking at this point. So you can check out all this and more at the official home of D20 Radio, www.d20radio.com. And while you are there, pop into the forums either by following the link or adding /forums to your now favorite web address.
Bits and pieces.
Mr. and Mrs. American, all the ships at sea, it's time for all the gaming news that's fit to print, or at least to read on the air, and boy, have we got a doozy for you.
Yes, indeed. Anthony Galella, chair of the Academy of Adventure Gaming Arts and Design, which has the handy acronym AAGAD, or AGAD, has released a list of the nominees for the 35th Annual Origins Awards. The nomination and award process works as follows. First, publishers and designers submit their creations to a jury composed of members of AGAD and the Game Manufacturers Association, better known as GAMMA. It sounds like some sort of giant monster fight. Gamma versus a god. Okay. And the jury selects 10 items in the various categories. Retailers who attend Gamma's annual trade show then narrow the list down to 5 nominees, with the winner being determined by those who attend the Origins Game Fair, which takes place June 24th to 28th in Columbus, Ohio in 2009. So yes, eventually this pared-down list gets voted on by the people who actually play the games. What a concept.
You know, that one thing there kind of sounds like Jake whenever he loses. Oh, God!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, you know.
It's a sound I've come to know and love. So, this is a very long list, and we're going to split it up between the two of us here. But the nominees for 2009 are...
For board games, Agricola, or Agricola, however you want to say that, by Uwe Rosenberg from Z-Man Games... Ninja vs. Ninja by Tushar Gihwala, Out of the Box Publishing. Pandemic by Matt Laycock of Z-Man Games. Tomb by John Zinser, Alderac Entertainment Group. and Wealth of Nations by Nico Carroll from Table Star Games.
In the category of historical board games, the nominees are Conflict of Heroes, Awakening the Bear by Uwe Eichert from Academy Games, España 1936 by Antonio Catalane from Dever US LLC and Phalanx Games, Pursuit of Glory by Brad Stock and Brian Stock from GMT Games, and The Battle of Monmouth by Rich Kane from Clash of Arm Games, and The Campaigns of King David by Robert Markham, also from Clash of Arms Games.
In the card games nominations, Dominion by Donald X. Vaccarino, of Rio Grande Games, Monty Python Flux by Andrew Looney of Looney Labs, such a great name, Red Dragon Inn 2 by Jeff Baton, Colleen Scuttle, and Cliff Bohm of Slugfest Games, Ticket to Ride, the card game by Alan R. Moon from Days of Wonder, and Trailer Park Wars by Lisa Steenson of Gutbustin' Games. Trailer Park Wars. Yeah. That sounds like a little slice of Southern Oregon to me.
It does. It's strange how that works.
I'm going to have to pick that one.
All right, in the final category of children's, family, and party games, and I almost didn't include this because this isn't a very interesting category, but here it is anyway. Backseat Drawing by Peggy Brown from Out of the Box Publishing. Duck Duck Go by Kevin G. Nunn from Ape Games. Living Labyrinth by Julie Hain of Bucephalus Games. Rorschach, the Ink Blot Party Game by Dan Tibbles, Jeremy Holcomb, Joe Huber, and Stephen McLaughlin from Bucephalus Games. Say Anything by Dominic, and be really careful with his last name, Krapuschets, and Satish Pillalamari from North Star Games. And The Extraordinary Adventures of Baron Munchausen by James Wallace from Mongoose Publishing. And I'm going to make a massive set of predictions here. I'm going to tell you which games are going to win in each category. And Andy, you feel free to disagree with me if you choose to.
Okay.
I'm predicting the board game winner will be Agricola.
I kind of have to agree with that. I would throw Pandemic as a very close second.
Yes, extremely close second. I'm predicting Conflict of Heroes, Awakening the Bear as the winner in the historical board games category.
I think I'm going to have to agree with that one.
Card games. Now, this is a little trickier. I think it's going to be Ticket to Ride, the card game, with Monty Python Flux as a very close second.
Yeah.
This doesn't reflect the quality of Monty Python Flux, merely its gigantic player base.
Right. Yeah, I have to agree. Ticket to Ride, also because of its huge player base, but I think it could also be a good game.
And finally, in children's, family, and party games, I'm going to say it's going to be Say Anything from North Star Games, but I really wish it was The Extraordinary Adventures of Baron Munchausen. That game deserves some more awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my predictions. You can write them down, Gamer Nation. We'll probably have some further discussion about this in upcoming shows as we get closer to the actual date of the voting, but for now, those are your nominees and my predictions.
Yeah, write them down, because we're going to hold him to it. So.
Yep.
We can belittle him later.
If you belittle me, I'll have to buy new clothes.
Well, this is true.
All right, moving on.
Moving right along. Say, switching to a new RPG system can be tough, especially when you have to plunk down a chunk of change for new rule books. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been holding out on trying out 4th edition D&D for this very reason, hold out no longer. Wizards of the Coast has introduced D&D Test Drive, a way for anyone to check out the system for free.
How much?
Free.
How much?
All you need is a computer and the interwebs, and you can download it.
Awesome.
Right onto your little hard drive. Also included in this deal is the first published 4th edition adventure, Keep on the Shadowfell. Head over to www.wizards.com and look for D&D test drive.
Yeah, I will make my standard Keep on the Shadowfell recommendation. Do not use the included characters. Make your own, please.
Make your own. Yeah, that...
Or find some on the internet, because this is the introductory system. You may not have the rules for making your own, but find some on the internet, please.
Man, those characters were broken. I mean, I've never been beaten so bad by kobolds in all my life.
Oh, yeah. But no, it's a good way to check out the system. It's kind of impressive that... the folks over at Wizards are giving this bad boy away.
It is. I'm actually very impressed, considering the events of just a couple of weeks ago where they pulled all of the PDFs off the internet, you know, for people to buy and download.
Mm-hmm.
And then for them to turn around and do this, it doesn't make up for what they've done, but it is a very nice step in the right direction.
Yeah. I hope they do this with more stuff. That would be kind of neat.
Yeah, it really would be. And I think this is something that's becoming more of the norm for publishers and developers, is to give something to the gamers to kind of whet their appetite and give them some incentive to go out and buy their hardbound books and stuff like that. Because, you know, D&D, if you don't know what D&D is, and you're still alive, you're probably living in a cave in Afghanistan.
Especially if you're listening to this show from your cave in Afghanistan. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you want more news? Are you interested in all things gaming? Then head over to our three favorite resources, www.boardgamenews.com, www.gamingreport.com, and www.robotviking.com.
Say, I'm looking for some sort of abstract strategy game, something with possibly parasitic conflict or bidding and economics. Something with majority control and mass marketing. Min-maxing. It'll make people want to run away in fear and not play anything other than rock, paper, scissors. Have you got anything like that?
What the heck did he just say? Gamer Nation, it's a big wide world out there, and it's awful easy to get lost without a map. Fortunately, we here at Game On are master cartographers, and we can lead you down that trail like nobody's business. So... here's a few terms for you to keep in mind for the rest of the show.
Heft factor. Noun. The physical weight of the game, used to describe the quality of the components. A game with a well-made board and lots of cool wooden bits will have a high heft factor.
Parakeetitis. And we've probably had this on the show before, but it
applies. I think we have. I suffer from this myself.
Yes, it applies for this discussion. Parakeetitis. Noun, an affliction suffered primarily by spiel freaks. It causes the gamer to be enthralled by gorgeous components. Sufferers can often be heard to softly murmur, "Oh, nice bits," while examining a game, and can be easily distracted by the sight of shiny objects. And now, on with the show. So, Gamer Nation, we're talking in this show about games that Andy and I really, really want for perhaps unspecified reasons, but just haven't gotten around to either playing or purchasing for one reason or another. And I think we all do this to some degree if you're into board games and whatnot. You go into a store and you look on a shelf and, oh my God, that looks great. And look, the box weighs a lot. And, oh man, this is going to be great to play and I can't afford it right now. Or I can't, you know, get it right now. Or I'll never get it on the table or any number of other reasons. So we're going to look at some of the things that Andy and I are looking at. And this is fairly easily done. You can participate in this as you listen to the show if you would like to as well by heading over to www.boardgamegeek.com, looking up my profile or Andy's profile. I am Mr. Six over on Board Game Geek for reasons which are also unspecified. And Andy, what's yours over there?
I believe mine is Ravenwing67.
There you go. So you can look us up and check out what we call our wish list. These are games that Andy and I would like to get that we just haven't gotten around to getting, or, you know, there's other complications involved with it or whatever. So yeah, you can follow along with us as we discuss some of these. We're not going to discuss all of them because I've got something like, I don't know, 25 or 30 games in my wish list, and Andy's got another 20 or so in his. And, yeah, that would be, I think, a 17-hour show if we really went into it that deeply. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at specific titles, and we're going to tell you why we want to play them and what has attracted them to us in the first place. And hopefully you'll enjoy this part. So, Andy, do you want to start with a particular one of yours from your wish list there, sir?
I'll start with one on my list that that kind of ties in with yours as well, and that would be Pitch Car.
Oh yes, Pitch Car.
Now you purchased the original version of this game and brought it down to my store when I still had the doors open. I have never seen a board game generate so much gawking, laughing, standing around, everybody else wanting to get involved in a game as this did.
Oh, absolutely.
And this, it's just pure brilliant the way this game plays. It's just, you can't not have fun with it.
What Pitch Car is a race game, except it's the kind of race game that rather than using dice or cards or other mechanics in order to move your vehicles, it uses dexterity. It's a flicking game. You will flick these little pucks around this customizable track. And on each puck is a picture of a car, and that's how you play the game. You have to make corners and all this stuff just by flicking these little discs. And the better you flick, the faster you go around the track, and the more ability you have to actually finish a lap and win a game. It's crazy fun, because you can lay out the track in any way you want. It's all modular. And people, if you play this in a public setting, like Andy said, people are going to flock around this thing like crazy. Even people who normally don't play this kind of game. I mean, I brought it down there on Warhammer night where, you know, they're all moving these huge armies around. And we had people playing who had buys and all this other stuff. And they just come over and, you know, start flicking cars and laughing and having a great time. I mean, you put this thing out, it is amazing.
Oh, yeah, we bogged down the Friday night Magic tournament because half the Magic players were over playing Pitch Car.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. That was funny. I think we managed to make the Friday night Magic tournament about an hour longer than it really needed to be because they were playing Pitch Car. It's crazy fun. So, Andy, why haven't you got it yet?
Well, usually it's a little difficult to find. I remember when you went down and purchased your copy, I was like, ooh, I should go down and get a copy. And you're like, well, you can't. Mine was the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is a little bit on the spendy side, but it's very much worth the initial buy-in on it because, like I said, it's just a wonderful game.
Yeah, every penny you pay for this will be a penny well spent.
Because... it's like Brian was saying, it's a modular track. All the pieces are made out of, I believe if it's press board, but it's a very solid, sturdy piece. They have like puzzle ends to them, so they lock together. It's got plastic guard rails that go down into slots that have been mitered into the boards. And it's just well done. It's just a very nice game, and that's the biggest reason why I haven't picked it up. One is because it's usually out of stock because it sells so well, and I think it's about a $75 game just
set.
Yeah,
yeah. I gave it to myself for Christmas a couple of years ago because
well spent money and a well deserved gift at that. It was just a fabulous game.
I'll tell you how hard this game is to get. Okay, the store we go to only occasionally has this in, and usually only about two or three copies at a time. And there are a number of expansions for this game, some of which I have been coveting for a very, very long time. I made the mistake at one point of playing this game with my brother and my parents shortly before the store I go to got more copies in. My brother doesn't live around here. He lives up north a ways from me, but he apparently liked the game enough that as soon as they had copies in, he ordered online everything he could get a hold of for Pitch Car.
which is about, what, three or four expansions for that thing?
2 days before I went in to pick them up.
Oh, and of course they were sold out
because he got them all. All of them. Every last one. So I'm still waiting for them to come back and stop in stock. Part of the reason it's so difficult to get a hold of is because the game is only manufactured in Europe, and the store has to import them, you know, overseas and all that stuff, so they kind of wait on it. Yeah. But yeah, Pitch Car. If you can find it, and if you can, you know, afford the price, it's well worth the purchase. I highly recommend it. I don't know. It's probably in my top 10 or so favorite games.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. Almost every time that I've gone to KublaCon, they've had a very, very large Pitch Car racetrack set up, and I'm talking 3 or 4 large card tables worth of Pitch Car track.
Oh yes,
with jumps and loops and just, you know, mindless crazy corners all over the place. It's just really neat. It's like I said, it's an attention grabber.
Yeah, on my wish list, I've got the Pitch Car Extension 2, and I've got Pitch Car the Special Long Straights, which are like, what are they, like 2 or 3 foot long sections?
I think they're 3 foot long sections, which is just awesome.
Yeah. So we really want to complete our collection on that. If you'd like to donate to us, please. Oh, never mind. Okay, looking at my list now, I'm going to pull... Oh, let me see here. I'm going to pull American Megafauna from my list and talk about that for a minute. American Megafauna is... And I've never seen this game played. The only thing I know about it is what I've read on Board Game Geek. But it sounds pretty fun. What it is you start way back in the, you know, the dinosaur age, or possibly even earlier than that, with this organism, which you then try to evolve into a useful creature, which is able to survive in a changing environment across several millions of years, with, you know, new evolutions and mutations being added to it as you go along. And it sounds like a kind of a boring setup, I guess, but there's something about it that appeals to me, because it's one of those thick games where it's really deep and there's a lot of rules crunchiness to it and whatnot. And I suspect it plays quite a bit like Origins in terms of its overall concept.
Now, is this a prequel to Origins or one of the other games you have?
It's by the same guy, and it may very well be a sort of a semi-prequel. It came out first, but it's kind of in the same vein and works in approximately the same way. So, yeah, I'm kind of intrigued to check it out and see what it's like.
Yeah, I enjoyed Origins. That was an interesting game. Yeah.
And it took that's one that genuinely took us like 2 different sessions to play all the way through.
Yeah, because when you're learning the game, there's a lot going on there.
So I would expect American Megafauna to be of about the same quality, with about the same depth and complexity to it. And yeah, that's why I'm looking at that one.
Well, it would be interesting to see if the two are semi-compatible. You could start out with American Megafauna and evolve up into where Origin starts. I wonder if that's something they were thinking about, or if it just kind of looks that way.
Oh, I hope so, because that'd be great to play through American Megafauna and then switch into Origins and play through that. That's like a month worth of gaming right there.
Yeah.
Okay, your turn again.
My turn again. Well, this is one that just came out here not too long ago from the fine folks at Fantasy Flight Games, Moto Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah, this is the one with the little leaning motorcycles, isn't it?
Little leaning motorcycles, and it also is set up with a modular board. You can design the track however you want to, which you can, I'm sure they have layouts in there to model after actual racetracks.
I would think it
looks very interesting to me.
Yeah, this Fantasy Flight, of course, has, you know, the huge game thing going on with them, with the quality bits and all that stuff. So, yeah, this looks like it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if it whether it follows a similar game mechanic to something like Formula D or Formula Day. It's got a lot of things to it. I mean, it's got the dashboard for your motorcycle, so you can see what gear you're in and what you're doing, and then. It's got the neat little pieces for the motorcycles. You can lean into the corners, or you can do wheelies or whatever, which I don't really know if that has anything to do with the game mechanic itself. It's just, it's kind of one of those neat little things you can geek on. So, and I enjoy racing games, and that just to me seems like an interesting game.
Yeah, we do like our racing games. We do like our racing games.
Yes, we do. And it's just one of those things. I don't think I've ever purchased a game from Fantasy Flight that I didn't enjoy and that wasn't worth every penny that you put into it.
Yeah, well, there's one or two, but they're few and far between.
Yeah, they're few and far between, but for the most part, Fantasy Flight's got such a great track record with their games.
Yeah, so Moto Grand Prix, motorcycle racing. All right, I'm gonna deal with a whole bunch of my games that are on my wish list in one go here, because many of them are by the same designer, and that is the primary reason that I want to acquire these games. So here we go. A game called Foppen, a game called The Three Commandments, a game called Fish Floopin Frickadellin, a game called Fresh Fish, Funny Friends, Frisch Fleisch, Friesman Tenten, and Fundstück. You may notice some of these are German in origin.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that these are by Friedemann Fries, possibly.
They are by Friedemann Fries. And I love Friedemann Fries games, and I cannot get enough of them, and I must complete the collection. I've got, I don't know, what have I got, about like half a dozen, maybe more?
At least. I only have one that I can recall, I enjoyed that one, and that was the Fish Floopin and Frickadellen, and that was, it's just a bizarre little game, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yes. He does games that initially start out seeming very, very simple and very easy, and then about 20 minutes into the game, your brain is throbbing, you're sweating, and you're gritting your teeth because you've suddenly realized that there is more going on in this game and in its interactions than you ever suspected.
Oh, yeah. And every one of his games is like that. It's very subtle in the way it sneaks up on you. And then all of a sudden, it's, how did I get on Mount Everest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I've played a bad game of his, and I don't think I've ever played one that I didn't enjoy in completely, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you have your thing with Fiji, but that's neither here nor there. But
yeah, that one gave me a headache.
Yeah. And if you really want to play like the pinnacle of a Friedemann Fries game, you should play Power Grid.
Oh, yeah. That's it's funny because Power Grid doesn't really, I don't know, that kind of breaks the mold for most of his other games. It's very much different from a lot of his themes, but yeah, Power Grid is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, because essentially Power Grid is the only one with a kind of a serious theme to it.
Yeah, everything else is very, very cartoonish, very laid back, very much a fun, cartoony environment going on. Yeah, it's Power Grid is definitely a much more serious theme to it, but it's one of the best games out there.
Yeah, to give you an example, like Frisch Fleisch or Fleisch or whatever it is, it's a game about being a cannibal and eating, you know, flesh. And I know that's kind of like a ooh kind of thing, but yeah, I'm intrigued to try it out because he never does the obvious thing with it. Funny Friends is a game where you are essentially progressing through the various stages of life, and your interactions with other people sort of dictate how you're going to grow up, what you're going to be, and what you will have accomplished by the time you pass into the hereafter. And, I mean, it's just crazy stuff. Fish Floopin' and Frickadillin' is kind of a trading game with a really awesome name that's kind of fun to say, where you're trading, let me see if I can remember here, you're trading varieties of fish, meat, and I think cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yeah.
Yeah, for certain advantages and points and things like that with various merchants around this board. And it's kind of neat because it's the only game I've ever run across where you can buy different versions of the game and stick them all together and play this huge, like, 16 or 20-player game.
Yeah, each version of the game, it's basically the same game, but it comes with different sets of pawns. But you're able to link everything together and play through it. It's just brilliant the way he does some of his stuff.
Yeah. So all the Friedemann Fries games are things I desperately want to check out and play and own and all that kind of stuff. So, Yeah, that kills, what, 6 items on my list?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, there you go. Your turn again.
Another one of the ones that I know we've played, and I think you even had at one time, and that's Aqua Romana.
Oh, yes, I had that one.
And it's just a matter of getting back around to purchasing it. It's not necessarily that difficult to acquire. It's just been one of those things where, you know, I've had the money to buy it, and then, you know, like you say, I get parakeetitis and find something else that's just that much more shiny, and I want to try something new. But Aqua Romana, I keep wanting to come back to and play that, because that's an interesting game too.
Yeah, I had it, and then I traded it for 2 other games, which I thought was a reasonable trade given.
Yeah, it was. You came out ahead on that deal, so.
Yeah, essentially what you're doing is you're building the aqueducts in Rome, using a variety of little complicated mechanics that dictate where you can place things and what you can place there, and he who scores the most points based on length and crossings of your aqueducts and whatnot wins the game. And it was a lot of fun. And I'm kind of surprised I haven't reacquired it since then.
Yeah, it's like I say, it's just one of those things. I mean, you always have it in the back of your mind that, God, that was a fun game. We got to get that again. And just haven't gotten around to doing it. And at some point, I'm sure I will pick it up again, because it is an enjoyable game. It's one of those, you've got a mechanic going on that dictates where you can place parts of your aqueduct and how you can place them, and you wind up running into dead ends and things and having your aqueducts come up short because of the way the board is reacting.
Yeah, and the interaction with other players being able to block you off or force you into different routes and whatnot, it's just it's kind of hard to describe why it's a good game, but it really is one that I enjoy because of the planning and the need to factor in what everybody else is doing around you and how you're going to get from, like, point A to point B. And I don't know. I really need to pick it up again. And it's kind of one of those things where you go into the store, you go, oh, there's Aqua Romana. Oh, but look, there's the shiny thing next to it.
Exactly.
I'm distracted. There's too many good games. Yeah. It's amazing to see what our intentions are going into the game store sometimes versus what we come out of the game store with.
Yeah, and I've done that just recently. I acquired a new book, which we'll discuss later on, but I had picked up one book, wandered around the store for 20 minutes, sat it down, picked it up again, sat it down, left that store, went to another store, and wound up picking up another book. So it's gotta have it. Do I want it? Do I need it? You know?
Mm-hmm. I hate those decisions.
I do too.
Why can't I just win the lottery?
I don't know. I keep asking myself that. Oh, I know. We don't play.
Oh, that's right. Well, why can't the lottery just decide we're winners regardless?
I think they should. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. The next game on my list that I wanted to talk about is a game called Crash Tackle. What's Crash Tackle, you ask? Or maybe you don't. Okay. Crash Tackle is a rugby simulation game. I know that sounds exciting. I like rugby. You won't find me watching a whole lot of American football because it doesn't really appeal to me all that much. But like soccer and rugby and that kind of stuff, I kind of enjoy. Perhaps because there's a greater potential for blood and broken bones. I don't know. Anyway, but Crash Tackle is this great-looking little game that I've had my eye on for years. And it's the whole rugby strategies and player lineups, and you're on this hexagonal gridded board, and, you know, of course you're trying to score points and all this other stuff, you know, the obvious rugby things. So why haven't I gotten it yet, you're asking? Or not. Audience
Brian,
participation is somewhat lacking. Well, I haven't purchased it yet because the only place I can find it is from its manufacturer. And its manufacturer is located in South Africa. And I don't know why it is, and no offense to South Africans or anybody else for that matter. I mean, I'm sure you're all perfectly wonderful people in most cases, and you're all as honest as the day is long. but I have this constitutional objection to sending any form of money, whether that be actual cash, a check, electronic transfers, or anything like that, to a country such as South Africa. Different continents bother me. I don't think I'd even send money to Germany, frankly. Or, you know, anything, or Great Britain, or anybody. I just, something about it says, don't do it. And so I've been sitting around waiting patiently for somebody, somewhere in the States, to get this game in stock on a regular basis, at a time that also coincides with me having actual disposable income, in order to get this thing. I see no reason why it would be a bad game at all. But my only hang-up is where I have to send the money to acquire the game. Hey, you know what occurs to me?
What's that?
We have a listener who's in Africa.
Oh, we do.
He
mocked me on the boards just this very day.
He did. We have a listener in Africa. I wonder...
Oh, my goodness.
Speculation.
Well, we're going to have to work a deal here.
Yes, you know who you are. Contact me. All right. So, yours?
The flip side of your rugby would have to be the whole soccer thing, and that would be Sabutio.
Oh, yeah, Sabutio. And we go right back to the flick mechanic again, don't we?
Uh-huh.
What is it with us and Sabutio?
I'm not sure. It's...
Because it's on both our lists.
It is, and it's I don't know. It just looks like a really interesting game. After having seen a video of the game actually played, I just think it's a brilliant little mechanic that is as to how it works. I think it would just really be a lot of fun because it's kind of like using your hand as a little stick figure to play soccer with.
Yeah, it's. It's got all these little guys you can paint up in different uniforms, and they sit on these kind of half-round bases, and you flick them at the ball, and the ball goes various, you know, and there's some skill involved with it. I mean, you don't just, you know, randomly flick things. You gotta plan your shots, kind of, and you got to, you know, the angle of the dangle and all that kind of stuff that you got to work out in order to be effective at this game. And people who are really good at it are really fast at it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And are doing all this stuff once. And, it's got a big board, and you're supposed to mount it on the, you know, piece of wood or whatever. And you got the whole pitch set up. And it's just one of those things, I have seen the videos, and it makes me go, oh, my God, I got to play that game.
Yeah, it's just really intriguing the way the game works. And it's almost kind of intimidating to watch some of those guys play it because, like you say, they're very fast and they're very good at it. I can just see myself, you know, flicking myself in the eye with one of my players.
Oh yeah. I'm sure there will be a lot of trying to get things, you know, on the table and keep it on the table and, you know, in the first few outings. But man, I would love to play that thing.
Yeah, it really looks like a neat game. And as far as why we haven't picked it up comes down to where it comes from, how difficult it is to get, and, you know, like you say, having the disposable income to chunk down on it.
Yeah,
so.
This is Sabutio is primarily popular in Europe and South America.
Yeah.
And occasionally you will see one on eBay, but all the ones I've ever seen have been partial sets or... You know, here's a bunch of guys and no table, or
yeah,
here's a table
usually,
and no guys.
It's usually just the pitch or part of a team or something like that. I have yet to see a complete set for sale anywhere, so.
Yeah, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's...
Because I know there's hobby organizations or clubs or whatever in the States for Sabutio that supply, you know, they make the orders from wherever, from overseas, and they supply the bits and pieces and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of what I've seen from them is things I'm not really ready to invest that much money in until I really get the hang for the game.
Yeah, I've seen some really interesting custom pitches, custom players, which is a really neat idea, and that's something I could probably get into. But like you say, to put that much money forth on something I haven't played yet and don't know that, you know, for sure that I would enjoy. I think I would, but it's a matter of actually getting it on the table and having a go at it.
Yeah, so many of these things, it comes down to its availability and its money in terms of being able to get things for it.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of things on our list. It's availability type of thing. It's a lot of things that are coming out of Europe that are played primarily in Europe that don't hit the shores here in the States very often. And I guess that's just our style of gameplay, the kind of games that we like to play. A lot of them come from across the sea. So,
yeah. And I'm looking at my list again, and I'm seeing a couple of things here I want to talk about, just because these aren't really games that I want for any particular solid reason. They're games that I want because of their theme. In other words, what they're about. And I'm speaking specifically about Army of Darkness and John Carter, Warlord of Mars.
Yeah, Warlord of Mars sounds interesting.
Yeah, these are both somewhat older games now. And to be honest, Army of Darkness has a pretty poor rating on Board Game Geek. But I really don't care. I mean, come on. Army of Darkness, mm-hmm. Bruce Campbell, killing zombies and skeletons. And how can you not want that? What's wrong with you? Bruce Campbell, Ash.
He lives right here in the Rogue Valley.
This is my boomstick. Come on.
Good, bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
That's right. And then you've got John Carter, Warlord of Mars, which is so pulpy. It's clearly a game obviously based on the works of Edgar Rice Burroughs, and I've read all the John Carter books, and I just want to get the game and get it on the table. It's an older, I can't remember whether it's an older SPI or an older Avalon Hill game. I don't really remember right off the top of my head.
It sounds like an SPI, but it's hard to say.
Yeah, but it's undoubtedly full of little cardboard counters and hex maps and, you know, complicated rules. And I don't care. I want to play it. I need to play it. My life is incomplete. Well, maybe not incomplete, but, I mean, come on. John Carter, Warlord of Mars. This Virginian from the Civil War gets magically transported to Mars, where he essentially takes over and becomes, you know, the King of Mars or something like that. It makes perfect sense. I don't care.
Absolutely.
I want to get it on the table and give it a try and see what it's like. I'm crazy that way.
Yeah. But we love you.
Well, thank you. I feel all warm and fuzzy inside now.
Warm and fuzzy. Yeah, another one that falls into the category of just the genre and what the game represents, and I have very little information on how the game plays at all, simply because I'm a Godzilla fan, is the game Oh No, There Goes Tokyo.
Awesome.
And it's along the same lines. I believe it's a hex grid map with cardboard counters and stuff, which doesn't really do a whole lot for me, but the whole idea behind the game of having you know, like the Japanese self-defense force and Godzilla stampeding around Tokyo is just too much fun.
Do you still want this even in the face of Monsterpocalypse?
I do and I don't. I still want it because it is primarily, you know, specifically dealing with Godzilla or, you know, a Godzilla-esque monster.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with the release of Monsterpocalypse, it's kind of satiated my needing to destroy buildings and step on little radio control tanks and stuff.
Awesome. Fire and atomic flames shooting out of your mouth and burning things. And you know what? We should get a whole bunch of milk cartons, you know, the wax milk cartons and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we should paint them up like buildings. Soak them in kerosene and get like a Godzilla puppet or something. And I don't know where this is coming from, but yeah, it would just be nice just once in our lives to have like a sort of a small scale crush the city sort of a thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Do you remember the, what was it? They were like 2 or 3 foot tall action figures, the Gundam.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Had the Godzilla in there.
Oh yeah.
Remember that one?
Oh yeah.
had the little lever on the back of his head, and fire would come out of his mouth.
And I think I just thought of a really good use for your Shadowrun figures. Oh, my. Huh. I'll have to talk to you about that later.
The wheels, they are a-turning.
Yeah, that could be actually fairly cool. Okay, so, all right. I'll backburner that for the moment.
Look out, Gamer Nation.
Oh, dear. All right, so the other thing that kind of seems to be sort of prevalent on my wish list are expansions to games I already own. Mm-hmm. For example, I got War of the Ring, Battles of the Third Age, and I see Commands and Colors Ancients expansion pack number 3, the Roman Civil Wars, is still up there.
I think there's a fourth one out now, isn't there?
I don't want to talk about it. I'm behind. And a lot of it, and I've even got Arkham Horror up on my list. Horror. Up on my list, which I know is going to lead to more expansion buying.
Oh, yeah, if I get it.
I
finally got around to picking up Arkham Horror, and we actually got to play a game, which we won, but I think it went horribly wrong somehow. But anyways, yeah. That was a rules misinterpretation. But yeah, that's every time I go into the game store, it's like, oh, look, there's another expansion. And then, oh, there's another one next to it. And there's, oh, crap, I'm going to need a pickup truck to take them all home.
Most of this is just because for games I really like, I also like a sense of completeness. And I enjoy War of the Ring and Commands and Colors. We both do. Naturally, I have to get the expansions that go along with it. But when you walk into a game store and you look at an expansion and it's $35 or more, and you look at a new game and it's $35 or more, you know, a game you haven't played at all yet, it's really hard to buy that expansion.
It is, and that's the pitfall that I get stuck with is I go in thinking that I'm going to buy this one specific game, and like you said, oh, shiny next to it, shiny on the other side of it. Oh, look, there's more stuff over here. It's like, do I really want this, or do I want to try something new? So,
yeah, and it's really hard to just say, like, okay, I'm going to buy the Commands and Colors expansion pack number 3, or I'm going to buy, you know, Kingsburg, or I'm going to buy, you know, Diplomacy, or I'm going to buy... that decision, there's a fault there somewhere in my process where, like I said before, we go in looking for one thing and we come out with something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're apparently crazy or so. I don't know what the problem is. You would think I could just go to a game store and say, this is what I am buying and I am walking out with this only.
I've never been able to do that. No.
There's a comic shop down in the south end of the valley that a buddy of mine and yours... Yeah, referred to as the $50 store. Because he had the same problem with comics and things as we have with board games, which was that you would go into this store intending to buy one issue of one comic, and you would come out with no less than, but often more than, $50 worth of product.
Oh, absolutely.
And you couldn't go in and just buy the one, you know, $3 comic or whatever it is that you wanted. You had to go in and get, look, they got that too, and oh, they got this run and this, and 50 bucks later, you're wondering, how am I going to get groceries this week?
It's like, where did all my money go?
Yeah.
So yeah, I have that problem. I go in and, especially with role-playing games, you go in and you look for one specific book, and then you find another one, and then you, oh, look, there's a new system out, and then, oh, there's, you know, I haven't played this in a while, but yeah, I'd really like to have this last book to complete my set, and it's just...
You know what that occurs to me, okay, and this has got to be something related, okay, and it just dawned on me. This is somehow related to my constant need to create new characters on MMOs. That Altaholic thing. You want to try everything.
I found myself doing that with the character creator for 4th edition.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, you showed me that thing, and it was like, oh, here's 7 days wasted. I've got 900 new characters. I'll never play them all. I'll never be able to do anything with them. But I've got 900 characters now. And they all do something a little different. And, you know, sure, there's three Rangers, but there are three different kinds of Rangers. And, you know, it's, come on. How it's got to be related. You got to try everything new.
That's one of the things that frustrates me with MMOs, and especially with the Old Republic coming up, is the amount of different characters and costumes and weapons and things that you can get. There's too many choices.
Yeah, I can't pick one, so I'm going to pick them all. Yeah, I don't know. Don't even get me started on the MMO stuff. I have a whole nother show to do that on now.
I'm going to be Darth Pikachu.
Pikachu, I choose. Oh, my God, that's horrible. Yeah, I'm going to have a little Jawa Jedi. He's going to be Darth Utini. So there.
Oh gosh.
All right. So yeah, this is somehow related. The desire to try everything new and get just anything that comes out. I mean, we have limits. We have things that we like and things we don't like. I mean, there are certain types of games that I won't play and I don't have any desire to own. Munchkin. And you know, Andy has different ones as well that just don't appeal. But you know, when we find something we like, we tend to hound it pretty badly.
We run it into the ground and remove its skin and wear it as a cape.
Yeah, there was like a 6-month period where, and I don't know if you were involved with this, but my old roommate and I, we got into auction games and auction mechanics in games.
Oh yeah.
And so every trip to the store was, you know, buy another auction game, try them all out. Oh, this one kind of sucks. Well, that doesn't slow us down any because there's two more to get yet.
There's two more to go.
You know, so it was kind of, I don't know. You would think with me having somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 odd games, board games, and you having whatever it is you've got, you know, 100 and some or whatever, that we would reach a point where we are satiated with this whole game buying thing. But no, they keep making new ones.
Yeah, and along that line, I mean, there was a few, at one point, there's still a few manufacturers that I won't even go near their games because I got burned so badly on a couple of them.
And Steve Jackson.
One of those was Z-Man Games, and with the release of Pandemic and several other of their games here lately, man, they've completely redeemed themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Pandemic is just an awesome game.
I really want to try Wasabi.
I do, too. Every time I see that in the store, I'm like, I must own it.
The last time I went out to that store, I packed Wasabi around that store for a good half an hour looking at everything else.
Uh-huh.
And you see what I came home with. I ended up with Earth Soup and the Fast Flowing Forest Fellers.
Yeah.
Not Wasabi.
No.
No.
No. No, not Wasabi. It's just one of those. It's like, you know, Agricola or Wasabi, or it's like, oh, there it is. It's on the shelf. It's in stock. I better grab it. Oh, look, what's this over here?
It's a disease, people. I'm sorry. It's a disease
or a sickness
of some sort. And it makes me a little bit sad.
Yeah, it's definitely afflicted us.
Yeah. But there's, you know, like I said, if you want to check out our wish lists, and, you know, I'm not saying anything, but maybe the mood might strike you to, never mind. Anyway, just check out our wish lists and see all the different things we're interested in getting and we haven't actually had a chance to play yet. And see if you can figure out why it is we like what we like.
Yeah, because there's definitely a lot of stuff out there I would like to get a hold of.
Oh, yes. Speaking of things we'd like to get a hold of.
Join us now as we enter a world that many think doesn't exist. A world of strange sights, strange sounds, and pleasant scents. Come with us to That's What She Said. No.
This is Kat. Okay, I admit it. Girls can be moody. Myself included. But fret not, Gamer Nation. You can help set the mood for your game through the cunning use of music. Music can really enhance the gaming experience. For board games or card games, a radio station or CD playing in the background generally works just fine and doesn't require much attention away from the game. But for RPGs, a bit more care in the selection of tracks is needed. After all, combat and diplomatic situations typically have different moods. Well, at least until you start aggressive negotiations, they do. Be creative. Pick music you like and won't mind listening to for the length of an encounter. Try to avoid big volume changes mid-track. Hit play and set to repeat. Congratulations. Your game now has a soundtrack with a mood of your choosing.
She positively gives me goosebumps.
And I am rethinking my segue there.
I didn't
really mean that like it sounded.
I do.
Oh, Kat. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed.
On the table.
Well, we own a bunch of games here at the Imperial Game On Fortress. But sadly, this week has been a little thin on actually playing any of them. Let me check and see what I got to play this week. Nothing. Well, hold it. Let's reverse that just a bit. I did actually get to play a game this week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, last night. I played on, and this is something we'll probably cover in another show, but I played Kingsburg again, at least most of a game of Kingsburg again, against one of our listeners on an online gaming site.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, played against Seikos. And I, you know, thanks for the game, Seikos. I hope you enjoyed it. Apparently you did, because you've now played something like 2 million games since then of Kingsburg. But, yeah, I actually got to play Kingsburg again, and it was going pretty well when they shut the servers down.
How nice of them.
Yeah, I think I was a point ahead. But, yeah, that's all I got to do this week.
Yeah. Once again, I'm going to blame this week's lack of gaming on Jake, because he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, Jake is a jerk. He keeps leaving and doing other things, and, you know, I got a wife and kids and a family I got to see. Well, we got games.
Yeah. What does he do the other 6 days of the week? Gee whiz. Help a brother out.
That's right.
The only thing I really got to do today was, go into a game store, pick up a book, wander around, clutching it mindlessly, setting it down, and going to another store and getting another book. So I almost picked up the Player's Handbook 2.
No.
I was real close. I was fondling the page of the Bard and looking at some of the other neat stuff that's in there, and I just something was calling to me from in the ether, and I was like, I'll hold off on this one. And well, I went to one of the other shops, and I managed to pick up Six Shooters and Spaceships for the Serenity game.
Oh yeah.
You're my new best buddy.
Yeah, we're gonna have to break that one out again.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Because there's, as the title suggests, there are six shooters and spaceships located within the pages of that book. So
that's great, and I'm glad you brought it along so I could look at it.
About that.
Jerk.
I was so excited to get here, I'd forgotten all about it.
I'll bet it's got all kinds of cool stuff in it that what I'd really like to use in my next campaign.
Yeah, but you can't because you don't get to see it.
Jeez.
So that's what we did this week.
Yeah. What did you guys do? Somebody write in and tell us you're having fun out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd hate to think that we're the only ones not having fun.
Well, it's the end of the show yet again, and while we try to delay it as much as possible, it's still inevitable that it has to come along. I could just find out where it lived, we could nuke it from space. It's the only way to be sure.
They'll never see it coming. A big thank you goes out to everyone who has taken the time to rate and review us on iTunes. 16 ratings and 12 reviews have really helped keep us ahead of the competition and made it lots easier for people to find us. Still, the battle rages on, and while we're not prepared to bribe you for reviews just yet, we can always use more. There's a whole page of casts we have yet to surpass, and we know how people dislike clicking links to other pages. So save them some effort, and if you haven't left a review for us yet, take a moment and do so. We know you want to help spread the word, and in the process, become loyal minions all.
We like loyal minions.
Loyal minions.
Our next episode is number 20, and we're looking at making a few tweaks to our format. If you'd like to make some suggestions, or tell us what we're doing right and wrong, head over to our forums and drop us a line. There's a lot going on over there, but we always have time to read your suggestions and listen to your comments. And heck, if you didn't visit the forums last week, you missed one heck of a discussion about 80s cartoons and the added value of cats segments. You just wouldn't believe what went on with that one.
I haven't seen so many thread jackings in a single thread ever.
That thing took a left turn so fast.
Man, completely missed Albuquerque.
That was great.
Oh, remember when we told you we'd let you know when we hit 200 subscribers? Well, it's happened. Or rather happened and then been rapidly surpassed. By our calculations, we're looking at something in the neighborhood of 400 subscribers. Huzzah. That's 400 people who regularly get our updates and pull down an episode. Pull down anything else. People just like you. And to you, we say thank you. This is way beyond what we thought it was going to be.
And boy, howdy is it. 400, that's amazing. We must be doing something right in spite of ourselves.
Either that or they're just coming back to see how bad we foul it up.
Could have, yeah, maybe. Maybe. If you'd like to drop us a line, we have two extremely convenient ways to do so. First, you can email us at gameon@d20radio.com. And second, you can participate in the witty banter and frivolity of our forums at www.d20radio.com/forums. We and the rest of Gamer Nation can't wait to hear from you. So until next time, Gamer Nation, game on!
This podcast is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. All specific names, titles, or products mentioned are copyrighted by the respective rights holders. Some sounds and music are provided courtesy of Soundsnap.com and Freesound.org. Reboot is copyright Alliance Entertainment. All original content of this podcast and its related website are intellectual property of Game On and D20 Radio.
Car is a race game, except it's that's all, folks. Oh man, that'll be at the end of the show.
Oil your tongue and continue, sir.